Welcome to the all-access version of the ProWrestling.net podcast. I'm Jason Powell here with an audio review of the WWE Raw show that took place on January 25th in Columbus, Ohio. It was go-home week for Raw heading into the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, which is coming up on Sunday. Speaking of which, if you want to hear audio, the recap of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view and next week's Raw coming out of the Rumble, you're going to have to be a .NET member, and the easiest way to do that is head on over to ProWrestling.net. Look for the sign-up page, and for $5 a month, you're going to gain instant access to all the audio we've ever done, including interviews with Brock Lesnar, Jim Sinister, Minister Mitchell, and recently Dutch Mantel, former TNA creative team member in his first interview since leaving TNA, and also former WWE creative team member Court Bauer and others. So a ton of audio over there, and you'll also get the first look at .NET news and access to the members forum. And again, just $5 a month. So skip that Subway for lunch today and get a whole month's worth of .NET entertainment. Having said all that, let's jump into last night's show. I thought they had solid hype for the Royal Rumble. I didn't think it was a home run episode that just really left me anxious to see the Rumble, but I thought they did a good job in certain areas of hyping the show. And we opened things up with DX coming to the ring, and this, I thought this was a strong segment. They had Sean take the serious approach, which he's been doing more of lately. Hunter was starting to go through his pre-match mic routine, but then he stopped, asked where Hornswoggle was, and Sean said he wasn't here. I sent him home. This is serious. And Hunter asked if they were going to go through it one more time, and Sean said he wished Hunter could understand the position he's in. Sean said he wants to win the Rumble and get another match and a shot at ending Undertaker's streak. Is that too much to ask? Is how Sean asked Hunter, and Hunter responded by saying that indeed it was too much to ask. He said they've been telling jokes for 6 months. It's Rumble time. That's all over. And he said everyone in the company should have the goal of winning the Rumble and getting a shot at one of the titles. And he says, I want that title shot. And Hunter said they could go to the Rumble and throw 28 guys over the top rope and probably do it pretty easily. He said that he wouldn't hesitate to step on Sean's dream to get to his own if it comes down to the two of them in the Rumble match. I understand, Sean responded, and then they went into the first match. Good hype here. I think it made the Rumble match seem very important. It made Sean's quest to get another shot at Taker important, and it made it clear that joke time is over. You know, I think that was kind of the point of this, is that we're getting serious, Hunter. It's that time of year again. I don't really like what it says about the other part of the year that. But at the same time, you know, I mean, they're looking forward to the Rumble and trying to set that serious tone. And so I thought they did a really nice job with this. And it this part definitely made me look forward to the Rumble and kind of left me wondering where DX goes from here. First match was DX beating Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes in a non-title match in 10 minutes. It was a good match. A lot of stuff at the end with Sean saving Hunter, I think it was. And then Cody being saved by Ted with different shots coming from different directions. And it was just a quality match. It's hard to take DiBiase and Rhodes seriously at this point. They've started and stopped those guys so many times. But late it was Hunter. Sean reached in and tagged himself into the match, and that's what pissed off Hunter. But then Sean pushed Hunter out of the way and hit Sweet Chin Music on Ted for the win. I think Ted was coming at Sean at that point. And then Cody wound up to hit Sean, but Hunter knocked Sean out of the way and nailed Cody with a shot. And Cole pointed out that DX would defend the tag titles against CM Punk and Luke Gallows on Friday's SmackDown show. So I'm curious to see how that goes. We'll find out tonight via the SmackDown tapings. I'm kind of wondering if they're going to get the titles off DX and then split them up. So we'll find out soon enough on that. But there was some more teased tension between Ted and Cody on this show. This time, you know, Ted saved Cody from a shot. So as I wrote in the hit list, I kind of wonder, are we going to see Ted and Cody be number one and two in the Rumble? And if so, I'm fine with that. I always like when it's not something you can do every year without, just making it too difficult to suspend your disbelief. But when you take a few years in between, and we saw the Demolition guys be the first two in the Rumble years ago, and I think it would be kind of fun if we did see Ted and Cody in that position to open up the actual Rumble match. And then we got Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler setting up a video preview of John Cena's appearance on Psych. He will be on the show Wednesday night. I believe it's 9 p.m. Central. And the host of the show was Dulé Hill. It was supposed to be the other kid from the other guy from Psych, but he couldn't make it because he had appendicitis or had the appendix surgery over the weekend. So Dulé Hill was filling in, and well, he was actually supposed to be there too, but he flew solo. We got highlights of Miz, MVP, and Big Show from last week, and then MVP came to the ring and said he had something he needed to tell Miz. MVP said he's number one contender for the U.S. title and then delivered a pretty standard promo. Miz came out and mocked MVP's ballin' line, and he asked if that's slang for the unspeakable act that MVP picked up while he was behind bars. I was laughing at that line. The live crowd, I don't know if they just didn't find the humor in it like I did, or if it went over their heads, because there was, you know, a couple oohs, but not a whole lot. So I thought that was like the best line of the show. MVP fired back by talking about how popular Miz would be in prison. They'd be fighting each other to be your exclusive friend, MVP said. And then MVP mockingly asked what the relationship is between Miz and Big Show. Miz said he was tempted to come to the ring and have their title match on the spot. MVP wasn't backing down here. He said, why don't you? And Miz said he has a friend who wants to make a statement 6 days before the Rumble match. And that's when Big Show came out and destroyed MVP in 1 minute. So MVP is your number one contender for the U.S. title. Big Show beats him. Shouldn't that move Big Show into the number one contender spot? Apparently not, because Big Show and MVP and Miz are buddies, and I guess guys in Big Show's position look down on the U.S. title is basically the message that sends me. I'm all for making Big Show look dominant heading into the Rumble match. I mean, it is a giant match, basically. Over the years, how many times, you know, Andre the Giant, Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, all the guys they've made look strong in Royal Rumbles or Battle Royals. And but does it have to be at MVP's expense? You could have put anybody in MVP's position and had Big Show plow through him. I just think you keep MVP and Miz hot right now. I didn't mind what they did with Miz later on. We'll talk about that when we get there. But this was just a squash, and I couldn't stand it. Cole hyped that Vince McMahon had reached a decision on the status of Bret Hart and would announce his decision later in the show. Then we got Ted and Cody in their locker room talking. Cody thanked Ted for sparing him the kick from HBK. Randy Orton entered the room and said there's been tension between the three of them for months. Orton reminded them that the Rumble match is coming and only one man can win. He said he will beat Sheamus at the Rumble with or without them. And then we got John Cena standing with his arm around Dulé Hill, as who told the story of James Roday undergoing surgery. That's his sidekick or partner, I guess the lead character on the show Psych. Cena told Hill that this is his night as guest host, and after Cena left, Miz entered the room and complained about Cena being essentially the guest host on, or the guest star on Psych. Miz said he had to Google Hill's name just to find out who he was. Hill responded by booking Miz in a match against an opponent of my choice. He told Miz to Google that and then left the room. And so they went to commercial break. I thought Hill was fine last night. I had zero expectations for those guys. I've only seen Psych a couple of times, and it was okay, but I couldn't say I had high hopes for these guys, and I guess most of the hosts have just been kind of disappointing lately. We've had Bret Hart, and I thought John Heater did a good job last week, but kind of bored by the whole guest host concept. But I'm not going to remember his performance, but I thought he was fine. It was, you know, he was decent at least. And we got, there actually is going to be a Best of Raw 2009 DVD, which may be the shortest DVD in the history of DVDs. We got Maryse pinning Eve Torres in a Divas Championship Tournament semifinal match in 205. The usual stuff here. Maryse was actually cutting a promo before the match, and this was interrupted by Hill, who was setting off Pyro. And she asked who he was. He apologized and said he hit the wrong button. She called him a loser and then spoke in French, and that's what led to the match. And they made Eve look strong. She had a couple of chances where she was she blocked a couple of Maryse's attempts to finish the match, but ultimately Maryse hit a DDT and got the pin, and so she advances to the finals of this. I think most of us have assumed that the tournament was pretty much set up for two reasons, obviously. They needed to come up with a new Divas champion with Melina's injury, and also to get the belt back on Maryse. Maybe they'll surprise us, but Maurice has kind of been the odds-on favorite with most people, I think, since they started this thing. We did get a shot of Vince McMahon backstage, and after commercial break, he came to the ring as highlights aired from his segment with Undertaker last week. He teased announcing that he was going to bring Brett back and then said Brett will never again appear in WWE. And he said he's a businessman and he does what's best for business. He mocked the crowd for thinking they're smarter than he is and questioned whether there's an entire arena filled with billionaires. Vince was pretty damn good here. He ended up going out into the crowd at one point and was like asking people to give him one reason why he should bring Bret Hart back. One guy said, he's awesome. Vince mocked a fan who was wearing a Ron Simmons damn t-shirt. And then he eventually hopped the guardrail and headed back to the ring. And then once there, he said, there's no reason to bring Bret Hart back because because he's part of the past. The fans were cheering for Bret. Vince said he's concerned about the present and future, not someone who is just a footnote in the past, as he put it. John Cena's music interrupted Vince. I'm like, what the hell does John Cena have to do with this? But they did a really nice job of tying him in. Basically, he brought up the line Vince used about Bret being a used-up piece of gum that's lost its flavor and had to be spit out. He recalled Vince treating Roddy Piper like he was nothing at Madison Square Garden and kind of made the connection that, what are you going to treat me like, basically, was what was being implied when I've run my course here in WWE. And so I thought it was a really nice way to tie in John Cena. And Cena accused Vince of feeding his own ego by bringing Bret on the show and then kicking him in the gut. He said, you're not a coward, you're pathetic. And Cena told Vince that Vince will invite Bret Hart to Raw next week. If you don't invite him, you prove to me, every WWE superstar and every loyal WWE fan, that they are nothing more than a commodity to line your wallet and serve your ego. And he said he'd find Vince on his 90th birthday, knock his false teeth down his throat for Bret Hart, Andre the Giant, Jesse Ventura over the years, Outback Jack, and everyone else who worked there. And he said that Cena said he wasn't going to change Vince's mind. He said, this is one of those times where you just need to do the right thing. And then Vince stopped Cena after he left the ring, and Vince said that he would invite Bret to appear on the show next week. And he said he would have Bret step in the ring if he has the guts, and he said, and I won't even flinch. And then Vince booked Cena in a match with Sheamus for later in the show as punishment, essentially. And they went to commercial break. Real strong here. I was very pleased. I received an email from somebody from claiming to be from Columbus who claimed they saw Bret Hart in Columbus yesterday. Maybe they didn't. He just wasn't on the show, but I kind of doubt it. I kind of cringed when I saw him because I'm like, why would you have him on the week before the Rumble unless there's something you're going to do with him at the Rumble? And it didn't turn out to be either, and I'm happy. You know, I don't think you overshadow the Rumble, and I don't think you're going to have too many fans going, well, we can skip the Rumble because Bret Hart will be on the show next week. So I think they played this very, very well. They've incorporated Undertaker and now John Cena to keep this thing alive. I guess they, Triple H in the mix a little bit last week. Shawn Michaels has been in this. They're making it seem like a big deal, yet not overshadowing the business at hand, which is promoting the Royal Rumble. And I think they've just done a nice job of stretching this out. My concern when the word came out that he signed a four-month deal and they raced through everything with Shawn Michaels was that, well, you've really got nothing other than Bret and Vince here, and how do you keep that hot until WrestleMania? And so far, so good. I think they've done a nice job, and I'm looking forward to seeing really the second chapter next week. Fourth match was Kofi Kingston beating The Miz in a non-title match in 3 minutes and 40 seconds. This is the one I didn't mind. It was a non-title match. Miz was actually looking pretty good here after being pretty much thoroughly destroyed by Kofi not too long ago. And he was distracted, though, because MVP's entrance music played. When Miz turned his attention back to the Kofi, he was immediately greeted with the Trouble in Paradise kick and was then pinned, and then MVP walked out afterward and pointed at his watch to signify that it was only a matter of time until they met up in the ring for their U.S. title match. We got Dule Hill and Carlito in the production truck. Carlito said none of the guests pay attention to him. He said he even dressed up like Napoleon Dynamite last week. And so there, I guess that was the explanation for why he was dressed like Napoleon Dynamite, even though he said he'd never seen the movie. Probably unnecessary, but I'll take it. At least they tried to explain what the hell that was all about, because that was just weird. Hill said that one of the staff members bring up a graphic of Carlito, who was asking for a title match. Hill entered random code for a random opponent, and it came up Kelly Kelly. Carlito was pretty happy about this and tried to hug Hill, who said that he was cool to fist bump. And then Carlito came to the ring wearing street clothes and smiled when Kelly Kelly's music actually played. She didn't look too happy about this, though. Santino Marella's music played, and he walked onto the stage behind Kelly. He plugged the Best of Raw DVD and said it's a new year, and he's going to take Kelly's place, beat Carlito, and then win the Royal Rumble. Jack Swagger came out and struck Santino from behind. Swagger slid Santino in the ring, and then as Carlito made his exit, and then Swagger threw Santino over the top rope and took his victory lap in the ring, and he headed to ringside where he pulled Santino's head into the ring post, and then Swagger mocked him by doing push-ups right next to the fallen Santino Marella. Too little too late. I'm sorry. I mean, they need to do something with Jack Swagger in the Rumble to actually make me take him seriously. And my guess that he's going to be eliminated by Santino, probably not going to be that thing. We got the announcers plugging Cena versus Sheamus before the commercial. And then at ringside, the announcers discussed the Rumble match. They hyped the actual match and showed various winners from the past. It was actually a video that did this, and it was the one with all the records and stuff like that. And I really think this is well done and probably long overdue. I've been waiting for this video to play this year. You'll have to apologize. I have to accept my apology, I should say, for my damn phone ringing. But I've been waiting for this video to play because I really think it does a nice job of kind of capturing that mood that they need for the Royal Rumble. And it's well done. You know, I like that they keep in wrestling, there's, you know, they don't really keep that many stats and records and things like that. And the Rumble match is the one time where they really seem to do that. They do it a little bit at WrestleMania too, but WWE could do more of that. But so whenever I see it in the Rumble, I'm happy. And they really do a nice job with that video of just kind of setting the tone. Cole and Lawler hyped the Royal Rumble from ringside and then the various matches. They did not add any new matches to the mix. We got Cena backstage with Hill, and they had James Rodé on speakerphone. The audio is weak, and really so was the comedy. And then Alicia Fox entered the office, and she was looking for psychic help. Rodé tried to offer his help because he plays the psych character on the show, the psychic character. But Hill hung up the phone so he could flirt with Alicia. And basically, I think he implied that she was going to win her match, and she basically made a threat that if she didn't, he was in trouble. And Hill was very nervous about this. And rather than just hide out and hope for the best, he decided to go hang out on commentary. Why, I'll never know. Gail Kim then defeated Alicia Fox in a Divas Championship Tournament semifinal match in 155. It was fine while it lasted. It's just, as I wrote in the hit list today, you can't just throw out these two-minute Divas matches. They've done so much damage to this division. No one cares about the Divas division right now. It's really sad. Some of the women will get cheers when they come to the ring, and others will just get the horny male calls. And they get somewhat of a reaction when they come out. As soon as that bell rings to start the match, it's as quiet in the building as you'll ever hear during a Raw show. I saw this when I went to the Raw at Target Center a couple weeks ago, and I've noticed the same thing on TV now for quite a while. Especially, one match, the fans might have some interest in, but when you're having two women's matches on the same show, the people just don't care. It's a huge difference between WWE and TNA. And it's not like WWE doesn't have the workhorses in the Divas division to really go out there and get people excited about the in-ring product. Gail Kim pretty much did that in TNA. Why not give, doesn't even have to be Gail Kim, but, pick your two of the better workers in the division that also have some personality. Let them go out there and sell a match as well as, like, MVP and Miz have. And I'm not saying they can do, they may not be able to do that as well on the mic as those two have. But if you give them an opportunity, you start making people want that match, and you put something at stake, and then that match happens, and you give them a good 6 to 10 minutes to actually tell a story and go in there and have a good quality match that leaves people satisfied. And rather than just these random matches that – people don't care about. I know it's for the Divas Championship, but they've never really made anyone care about that title, let alone the tournament for that vacant championship. So I just think there's a quick fix solution to this that WWE really should think about. It's sad because they just seem content with these two-minute throwaway matches. It's filler. Who cares? We need something. Let's throw a Divas match in there. And it's doing a disservice to the hardworking women of the Divas division because they really do have some talent there. They did announce that the main event for tonight's ECW show is Christian and Kane versus William Regal and Ezekiel Jackson. And then they also officially announced that Brett will confront Vince on next week's show and hyped that William Shatner will be the special guest host. Jerry Lawler had fun laughing about that because Shatner was the guy who actually inducted him into the WWE Hall of Fame. The sixth match of the show was Sheamus beating John Cena by DQ in a non-title match in 9:55. I enjoyed this match a lot because every time it looked like we were going to get that inevitable John Cena comeback, Sheamus would cut him off. And Jerry Lawler, I'm sure it was a line fed to him, but he did a really nice job questioning whether Cena had finally come across an opponent he couldn't beat. And, that's something I've been preaching for a while. It's not, okay, great, we get to see John Cena win again. Put him in there, make him the actual underdog. They always talk about him overcoming the odds. Well, put him in position where he actually seems like the underdog, and not just in a handicap match, but against another opponent. And I don't know that they've really captured that vibe yet with Sheamus, but they're starting to. This was a good start. Sheamus beat Cena to win the title, and so far Cena just hasn't been able to get his revenge and take his title back. And I think it needs to be, I would go even further with it and have Sheamus just destroy Cena a couple of times. Maybe not have him win the actual match by pinfall. If WWE seems like they're afraid of having their baby faces lose clean. So if that's asking too much, quick short match and then Sheamus just destroys Cena and leaves him lying. Something. But make Sheamus continue to look dominant when he faces John Cena, because eventually then I think there's money in the rematch, and who knows, maybe that's what they're setting up for WrestleMania. Is I don't really want to see John Cena win the title, but he doesn't have to. Or win the Royal Rumble, I should say. But he doesn't have to win it. They can have Shawn win it and Shawn challenges Taker, or somebody that's going to challenge Taker instead. So even if you are kind of leery of seeing John Cena win the Rumble, keep in mind he doesn't have to win it in order to get his match with Sheamus. And maybe they'll make the Elimination Chamber something where the title shot's on the line rather than the title on the line. That's one thing that kind of irks me about the Elimination Chamber format now, is that it comes right before the WrestleMania, and I don't like when they put the title on the line there. I want to feel like when I see the Royal Rumble, I know my WrestleMania main event. And maybe once every 5 years or something, if you want to kind of shake that up a little bit and surprise us with something, that's great, but don't do it every year. I just don't want to see that. I want to know, maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but I just want to know what's going to happen, what my Mania main event is at the Rumble. I really am a big believer in that. I think if you do that too much, where you start shaking things up via the Elimination Chamber or just not making the Rumble, it takes away from the Rumble match. It doesn't make it seem as prestigious, and I think that's a big mistake. But anyway, back to this match. Cena took a big boot from Sheamus after he actually went for his, I think it was his second or third comeback attempt, and Sheamus fled to ringside. Cena followed, then ate a big boot. The referee was counting out Cena when Randy Orton hit the ring and hit the RKO on Sheamus. The announcers called it a DQ. I thought Cena was going to get counted out, but good finish. This Sheamus looked strong while he was in there with Cena. Orton set up his match with Sheamus by hitting the RKO on Sheamus for the apparent DQ. And then they made Cena look strong at the end. He struggled to get back onto the ring apron. Orton pulled him over the ropes and was going for that DDT where he's got his opponent's legs draped over the middle rope. But Cena countered with an attitude adjustment and then celebrated to close the show as Orton and Sheamus were both laid out in the ring. And Cole questioned whether Cena would be the last man standing in the Rumble match, and then the announcers narrated highlights of the match to close the show. So good hype for the Rumble match. I thought the show-ending segment last week was a little bit better because you incorporated more people and really put the focus on the actual Royal Rumble match. But this was solid. They did a good job in this final segment of Setting up Orton versus Sheamus, which kind of feels like a lost cause. I don't feel a lot of excitement over that right now. Maybe they'll do something during the match to get people buzzing. But heading into the Rumble, I can't say. You know, I'm getting a lot of emails from people asking about Orton Sheamus or anything like that. But as I've said before, it is the Rumble match, and it's the one match WWE has where they can put inferior title matches on the show, because the Rumble, the actual Rumble match, is the selling point of this pay-per-view. So it's going to be interesting on Sunday, that's for sure, and to see how they handle that Randy Orton-Sheamus match, even Mysterio versus Taker, and then, of course, the Royal Rumble match. They did not say anything about having the finals of the Divas Championship Tournament on the Rumble pay-per-view. My guess is that they won't, just because they've already got the WWE Women's Championship match on that show, and I just don't know that they're going to really have room for another match. And even if they do, I don't know if they want to have two women's matches on the Royal Rumble card, given the lack of reaction most women's matches are getting these days. But I'm looking forward to it. I think Sunday's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a lot of fun between now and then in the .NET members section. Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be answering .NET members pro wrestling and even some non-wrestling questions. I'm sure they'll be asking me all about my damn Vikings losing the big one again. Yes, the big one for me is not even the Super Bowl anymore. It's become the NFC Championship game, because I've never seen my team play in the Super Bowl. So to me, the big one is always the NFC Championship. If we actually win that, I won't even know what to do. It's like, oh, we have to play again? Really? Oh, that's right. There's that little thing called the Super Bowl. So we do have some Saints fans in there. I think we've got one or two Colts fans in there as well. So they're all pretty excited, and good for them. More power to them. We'll be talking quite a bit of football, I'm sure, in the non-wrestling portion. But a lot of wrestling questions first. And then Friday, Rich Quilling and I will be doing the .NET Weekly audio show. And you can be sure that we'll be talking a ton of Royal Rumble heading into that show. And then Sunday night, of course, the Royal Rumble coverage. You don't have to be a member. You can head on over to ProWrestling.net. And if you order the show, watch along with me as I provide my live coverage report on the site. Or if you are too cheap to order the Rumble or just don't feel like it, whatever, if you want to know what's going on, check in for the results as they happen via that live coverage report also. And then members can look forward to the Royal Rumble audio recap that I'll be providing late Sunday night. And also members can look forward to the WWE Raw recap audio that will be coming up on Monday night after the show. So lots of audio coming up for members. So great time to sign up for .NET membership. And again, it's just $5 a month. How cheap is that? Soft economy, tough enough to freaking, you know, get it. Where else are you going to find $5 of entertainment? Come on, man. It's a month worth for $5. Get over there. All right, enough of the hardcore pimping for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I will talk to .NET members on Wednesday. Everybody else, not sure when I'll talk to you again, but I'm sure it'll be relatively soon. So thank you again for listening, and take care.